Well, God bless. Today I'm going to preach on the plastic people. The plastic people. I think I'll enjoy teaching and preaching more than most will enjoy hearing today. But I'll enjoy it because I know it's needful. I know it's beneficial and life-changing. And I know Satan comes to kill. And the Bible says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Dear Father, be with the preaching today, the teaching. We know, Lord, that you have made us spirit, soul, and body. And I do pray, God, that you will indeed be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Plastic people. Why this title? Well, number one, because literally, people are becoming plastic through surgery. I'm not talking about if they're in a burn or fire or something. I'm talking about just cosmetic surgery, not natural beauty. They're painting their face and body with plastics. They're ingesting and also inhaling plastics. They are feeding on plastic. And they're plastic people because they are spiritually and figuratively becoming plastic. They're pliable, they're given to change, they're untrustworthy, they're disloyal, they're easily manipulated. So let us first deal with how people are becoming literally plastic. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons reported that its members performed a total of almost 16 million cosmetic surgical procedures in 2020. Research by the Medical Accident Group found that 65% of people they polled actually regretted their surgery, which means that most people regret it. And I believe almost everyone will sooner or later. 83% of the people said that they would never consider having any form of cosmetic procedure again. Not surprisingly, young women were more likely to express interest in cosmetic surgical procedures than the young men. 2018 Plastic Surgery Statistics Report found that 92% of all cosmetic surgical procedures were performed on women. And exposure to cosmetic surgery advertising was correlated with increased approval of cosmetic surgical procedures, which meant the more they were in front of the advertising, the more they fell for it. In fact, the more media consumption in general, the more surgery. Young women who are more influenced by media messages are more likely to be dissatisfied with their bodies. And more social media use is associated with greater body dissatisfaction and greater intentions to undergo cosmetic surgical procedures. A study of 400 university students in 2017 found that more than half took one or more selfie-style images per day. I believe the conclusion here is this: that the people that end up plastic externally are already showing signs of being plastic internally. And what I mean by that is easily manipulated, easily being swayed by propaganda. Now, I titled this message, The Plastic People. And ironically, I found that close to the end of my studies that there was a documentary that came out just a few days ago called Plastic People. And it's about almost the same thing. That people are ingesting plastic. They are becoming plastic. And while I haven't seen the documentary and probably would not agree with all of their fixes for this problem, nevertheless, they are exposing a very, very real problem. I remember 20 or so years ago, and I've had several messages about this subject, but 20 or so years ago, I warned that the average plastic bottle had over 100 BPA-like substances. And I admit I was wrong. People were turning to various forms of plastic, and they said, well, this one doesn't have BPA, or this one's low in BPA. And I showed them, according to studies at the time, that there are over 100 BPA-like substances that are going to mess with your hormones, scramble your hormones. And I was wrong. The reality is far, far worse than what I said. Just a couple of days ago, the Mail, March 15th, says scientists identify 16,000 plastic chemicals used in products like water bottles, teething toys, blood bags, and at least 4,200 are deemed highly hazardous to human health. 4,200 highly hazardous chemicals in these bottles, and just about every other thing that touches your food and body. Thousands of plastic chemicals used in everyday objects are hazardous to human health, according to a new database of all known plastics. This resource, released Thursday by the Norway-based PlastChem Project, catalogs 16,000 different plastic chemicals that are currently in production, more than ever have been described before. Out of the total, at least 4,200 raise concerns because they pose significant health hazards to people and the environment, and only 980 of those are regulated. Some of the 15 highest priority chemicals in the report include PFAFs. These are talking about groups. These are the priority groups of chemicals. The so-called forever chemicals that have been linked to thyroid cancer, liver damage, and low infant birth weight. Another class of hazardous chemicals involved, identified in the report, is phthalates, which mimic hormones in the body and decrease testosterone, research has shown. Then the bisphenols, too, like BPA, are known to disrupt the human endocrine system by mimicking estrogen. We're finding hundreds, if not thousands, of plastic chemicals in people now. And some of them have been linked to adverse health outcomes, the report co-author tells us. Fertility issues, heart disease, cancer are among some of the issues linked to the chemicals contained in plastic. Do you think that maybe this can be a problem in your life? Zenodo.org, March 14th, where this comes from. This record contains the PlastChem report, State of the Science on Plastic Chemicals. What they tell us is that over a quarter of these plastic chemicals lack any basic information at all. A quarter of these thousands of chemicals, they don't have any information about it, as far as basic information. Over 10,000 of the chemicals lack hazard information. They don't know what they're doing to your body. That's 66% of the chemicals. Over 4,200 are persistent. That means they have a long-term presence in your body. They're bioaccumulative, which means they stay in there and they accumulate. They're toxic. Turkish scientists have recently discovered microplastics inside the human brain. Some of the particles were found deep inside the tissues of cancerous brain tumors. So they're crossing the blood-brain barrier now. They're finding out it's not just microplastics, it's these nanoplastics as well. The Denver Post tells us, I believe today, an attempt to ban all forever chemicals in Colorado failed. What will it take to get rid of the PFASs, these forever chemicals? The new bill takes aim at harmful chemicals found in cookware, makeup. As I search the news, I see that bills and legislation is popping up everywhere. People are finally waking up to these things, to some degree. Far, far too late. Far, far too late. The Guardian in March 14th tells us most U.S. sandwich baggies contain toxic forever chemicals, analysis says. They are called forever chemicals because they do not naturally break down and are linked to cancer, liver problems, thyroid issues, birth defects, kidney disease, decreased immunity, and other serious health problems. See, some of the liberals who understand the dangers of these things, they often go after capitalism. They're unaware of a higher agenda. Other than big money, big food, and big pharma, it has to do with population control, androgyny, world government, and maybe even things far more sinister. See, these things not only bring cancer, immunity problems, and all of these other thyroid issues and kidney disease and all these heart problems. No, they scramble the hormones. Now, who would want growing boys to be feminized and growing girls to be made masculine? I wonder who would want such a thing. Those who want population control? Those who are pushing the androgynous homosexual agenda? Scientific American just says in March 13th, what does plastic do to the endocrine system? Mounting evidence shows the endocrine-disrupting chemicals in plastics are harmful to human health. Plastic contains these EDCs that could wreak havoc on certain messaging systems in the human body. Over 1,000 industrial chemicals used today are suspected EDCs. Aside from a small percentage of substances that are regulated, plastic producers aren't required to disclose the chemical ingredients they use. I believe that's putting it lightly. See, Environment Science Technology Journal says March 5th, plastic food packaging from 5 countries contains endocrine and metabolism disrupting chemicals. Our findings demonstrate that most plastic food packaging contains endocrine and metabolism disrupting chemicals. A chemical disruption of the endocrine system contributes to a wide range of adverse health effects, including reproductive and developmental and metabolic disorders and cancer. The actual metabolism-disrupting chemicals promote obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other metabolic disorders, thereby contributing to the increase of disease. Now, due to an awakening, see, they can only hide things so long. They try to cover it up. They try to hide it. And decades later, people start waking up a little bit and start stirring. And after a while, it becomes a snowball of information, an avalanche, and they can't hide it anymore. So they have to start doing something, but they'll drag their feet much too late. The FDA has now moved to check some of the chemicals, these endocrine disrupting forever chemicals that are in the fast food packaging. So they've passed laws now, and that has to start being phased out. But this is very little compared to the giant problem. And what needs to happen, it should have happened a long time ago, is men need to wake up. I said men. They need to start being men. Fathers need to start taking control of their families and leading their families. Pastors need to start leading churches and saying, no, no, we're not going to allow this in this church. What you do in your home, I'm going to preach against it. But I tell you, throw a fit. How many more are going to die? How many are going to suffer? What has this endocrine disruption done to churches, to families, to the whole nation? I was right 25 years ago and I'm right now. And I want to know why Christians are the last to wake up. Why do Christians want to be the tail instead of the head that God called you to be? I once sat a few years ago in a conference where they were discussing gender confusion and the horrible thing that is happening to churches and to society. The lack of distinctions, the rise of homosexuality, even among homeschool Christian families. They sat there wondering what to do about it. What is the problem? And I believe it's many moral problems. But in regard to the physical, the speakers themselves sat there drinking out of plastic bottles after eating food filled with antibiotics, hormones, and pesticides, and nobody wanted to look at what that had to do, what part that played in some of these diseases and hormonal problems and temptations that people are under today. I'm not justifying sodomy because you're tempted in an area or inclined towards something or have physical feelings doesn't mean you have to act upon it. But shouldn't we do everything we can to normalize the human body? To keep it from being perverted physically? Nature, March6.com says landmark study links microplastics to serious health problems. People who had tiny plastic particles lodge in a key blood vessel were more likely to experience heart attack, stroke, or death during a 3-year study. Plastic in your body is not natural. God did not intend for you to eat plastic or any of these other chemicals and endocrine disrupting chemicals that mankind and its rebellion against God has flooded the food supply with. And of course, I've quoted leaders in the past who said they're going to do this on purpose, that they're going to use hormones, they're going to use injections, they're going to use these things to try to control the populace. New York Times tells us recently that a study in the journal Environmental Science and Technology in 2022 found that patients with inflammatory bowel disease had a significantly higher amount of microplastics in their feces than those without the disease. A small University of Hawaii study published last November cataloged the growing presence of microplastics in the very placentas of new mothers. A paper published this Thursday in the New England Journal of Medicine reported that people who had microplastics in their cardiovascular systems were at heightened risk for complications from heart attacks and strokes. That's another thing that's going on right now is all of these heart attacks in young people. A lot of it's probably from the COVID vaccines. But it might not be the only problem. The only reason. The researchers found that microplastics had become embedded in the fatty plaque that clings to the walls of blood vessels. Immune cells that come in contact with microplastics die 3 times as quickly than those that do not. This is toxic poison. Thousands and thousands of toxic chemicals. You don't want this stuff anywhere near you. You say, well, I can never, ever get rid of it all. Well, try. Do what you can. That's the same thing they make. That's the same excuse they make about moral filth. They say it's in the media, it's in the movies, it's everywhere. We can't escape it. Well, you ought to try. The Mail, March the 12th, says alarm over forever chemicals as scientists find clear proof that toxic chemicals are lurking in our blood and can harm the heart. Toxic chemicals lurking in cookware and in makeup. Just get rid of that. Just be natural. Throw that junk out. It's not pretty anyway. Toxic chemicals lurking in cookware, makeup, toiletries might be harming the heart, another study suggested today. Scientists have for years warned about the dangers of these PFASs, dubbed forever chemicals, because they can linger in the environment for hundreds of years. What do they do in the body? They have been linked to everything from cancer to infertility, and researchers suggest that the impact on human health could be even greater than suspected. There may be no safe levels at all. AJC.com, March 16th, says, what are PFASs or forever chemicals, and why are they in Georgia's drinking water? This is happening in many states all around the country now. Health.com, March 15th, says, bottled water contains hundreds of thousands of microscopic plastic pieces, research shows. It's not just the thousands of chemicals in the plastic. They contain thousands of pieces of plastic. Nanoplastics, which are about 100,000 times smaller than a sheet of paper is thick, or even smaller and potentially more damaging than microplastics. The bottled water you drink may contain hundreds of thousands of microscopic pieces of plastic, new research shows. And I'm going to stop here for a second to say it's showing up in the bloodstream. It's showing up in the brain. It's showing up in placentas of babies. It's showing up all throughout the body. They have been found, says the article, virtually everywhere on Earth, from the far reaches of the Arctic to the lining of human placentas. Nanoplastics are less than 1 nanometer in size. Experts believe that if ingested, these bits of plastic can cross the blood-brain barrier, which protects the brain from toxins. The new study published in January in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences estimated a human may consume as many as 370,000 nanoplastic particles in just 1 liter of bottled water. They found that the water harbored an average of 240,000 pieces of plastic, 90% of which were nanoplastics. The remaining 10% were microplastics, about 1,000 times larger than nanoplastics. The concern with the nanoplastics is that they have been found in human lungs and blood. Cells are able to take in the plastics, internalize them, and bring them into the cells. There has been some evidence of oxidative stress, changes to DNA, and inflammation due to these particle-cell interactions. Environmental Science Technology Letter 2024 says our results showed that these nanoparticle precipitation efficiency increased with increasing water hardness upon boiling up to 90%. Even with soft water, boiling can still remove more than 25% of these nanoparticles. So what they're saying is this, that if you take hard water, it comes through PVC pipes. It's got plastics in it, especially in the public water systems. But where there's hard water, they found that if you boil it, just for 5 minutes, those minerals inside the water, the calcium and such things, they begin to bind with the plastic very quickly and create these crystals that you can just then pour through a filter, and up to 80 to 90% of the microplastics are now out of that water, even the nanoplastics. They suggest that filtration devices such as stainless steel filters, which are frequently used when drinking tea, are also recommended to retain these crystals when the boiled water is consumed. That's a $50 article, but I think it's very, very important. Explaining this, the American Chemical Society says boiling and filtering calcium-containing tap water could help remove nearly 90% of the nano and microplastics present. And even in soft water, it still removes 25% of it. VeryWellHealth.com says last month, a study made headlines for revealing that a typical liter of bottled water contains nearly 250,000 plastic particles, 10 to 100 times more than previously estimated. Previous research indicates that exposure to these micro and nanoplastics may be associated with health effects like liver and gastrointestinal toxicity. Although the health effects of micro and nanoplastics are still being studied, current research suggests that they can cause oxidative stress, reproductive abnormalities, gastrointestinal dysfunction, and increased mortality. Atkins said that other research suggests microplastics appear to affect the ability of red blood cells to carry oxygen. Boy, people are having problems with that now. Cause the death of human embryonic kidney cells and alter the permeability of the intestine. You don't want that to happen. All that evidence is just based on the physical properties of the plastic. And this doesn't even consider the additives or absorbed contaminants that may be released from it. The study published last month in Environmental Science and Technology Letters showed that boiling tap water and then filtering it can remove nearly 80% or more of the nanoplastics and microplastics present. Explaining how they did this, Lee and his colleagues gathered hard and soft tap water samples in China and added varying concentrations of nanoplastics and microplastics. They then boiled the water samples for 5 minutes and allowed them to cool. Boiling the hard water creates the lime scale, chalky white deposit composed of calcium carbonate. As the water increases in temperature, the calcium carbonate undergoes a chemical reaction and precipitates out of the water, forming little crystals. These solid particles wrap and clump around the tiny plastic particles, making them a lot larger, Lee said. As a result, now they can be filtered out. Amazing. And that's a blessing. They make micro mesh stainless steel tea strainers and other things. The problem is, if you use something that's full of plastic to filter out the plastic, you're not really getting anywhere. Studies have found that using white paper filters, 20 to 40% of the filter's dioxins, extremely toxic chemicals, leach into your drink just from those white paper coffee filters. And that in itself, the dioxins are linked to birth defects, cancer, reproductive and developmental disorders. They often have polypropylene in them, which is what's in the tea bags that people use for herbal teas and drinking their various types of teas. Enviro News World in 2019 told us, caution advised, study. Tea bags are leaching off billions of microplastic particles into herbal and green teas. Some plastic tea bags leached as much as 11.6 billion microplastics and 3.1 billion nanoplastics into just one single cup. And people wondering why they're having issues, why they're having medical problems. Here's an actual study from 2023. Polypropylene is frequently used in manufacturing tea bags. Some bags are even made out of nylon. And in tea bags, additionally available are fluorine compounds, arsenic, radium, salt, aluminum, copper, lead, mercury, cadmium, barium, nitrates, and many more. Right there in that tea bag. People who drink tea frequently are continually dosing themselves with billions of plastic particles, some of which may be tiny enough to enter the human cells. Most paper tea bags have also plastic fibers used in the sealant, in addition to the nylon and PET plastic tea bags. According to a recent study, each cup of tea produced by one plastic tea bag steeped at brewing temperature included roughly 11.6 billion microplastics and 3.1 billion nanoplastics. They tell you to avoid all these issues, you could use a cloth-based tea bag or just whole herbal teas. God help us. There is an attack upon man physically, upon mankind. And how long will we be asleep? How long will you just sweep this under the rug and close your ears to it, not want to hear? A whole generation could have been saved. This information was out there. I preached it decades ago. A whole generation could be saved, or at least helped. But let's look at some things spiritually right now. People are not only literally, physically becoming plastic, they are spiritually and figuratively becoming plastic. They're becoming pliable. That is, given to change. Untrustworthy. Like broken reeds. Blowing in the wind. Disloyal. Easily manipulated by propaganda. Easily led astray from what they know is right. The way propaganda works is this. It provides a useful excuse for you to do what you desire anyway. Propaganda is aimed at your lust, your feelings, your desires. It's not there to give you true reason or logic or justice. It's not there to tell you what's right. This evil propaganda is there to convince you, to give you an excuse, not something you've studied out, just to give you a little saying or a little word. It's my body and I don't want the government messing with my body. So you kill your baby. It's there to just give you a catchphrase to make you feel good about your sin. The very word plastic comes from the Greek plastikos, capable of being molded into various forms. Etymology Online says, hence capable of change, of receiving a new direction, 1791. 1963, plastic was used for false, superficial. When somebody's plastic, they're superficial. So we might say that a plastic person is one who is easily formed, easily molded, easily influenced and changed, easily manipulated. And when it comes to evil, when it comes to Satan, when it comes to the multitude and the majority, when it comes to your flesh and the propaganda that people know how to wield now, you have to be firm. You have to be able to stand against it. You have to realize when you're being acted on by these things and not allow yourself to sit there before it. Exodus 23 says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. A multitude can be very influential. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. You're not to do wrong just because the crowd says so. Many Christians need to hear this today. Many homeschool Christians. Many Christians raised in Christian families. They need to hear this. You don't follow the crowd. You don't follow the multitude. And one thing you don't do is just sit there before it, before TikTok and all of these other things, and just let the world lead you astray. Proverbs 1 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go with it. But today, people are so easily, the peer pressure, the propaganda pressure, they're so easily led astray. Women are so easily talked into divorcing their husbands. Men are talked into breaking commitments. Children and young people, young adults are led astray. Forsake their churches, forsake the truth, forsake the Lord. Go with the new way. They're plastic people. The whole world at one time, God had to destroy. And he said he'll do it again, this time with fire instead of water. But there was one time when God looked upon the whole world and said it's all covered with violence, evil, every imagination. It's just wicked. But only one family in the whole world. One family. Genesis 7, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. How can you have a whole world and only one family? Out of all those thousands and thousands and thousands of people, only one family was righteous. Praise God that Noah was not plastic. Praise God that Noah was not pliable. Job was not either. It says in Job 31, Job says, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out the door? Job says, you're not going to manipulate me. You're not going to scare me. You're not going to pressure me. And God looked at Job and said he was perfect. Proverbs 20:24 says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That means don't fellowship with them. Let them be. People that want to change things for the devil, for the flesh, and for the world. They want to get rid of the old paths, the old ways that bring rest and peace and blessing and health. So much that people say, even in regard to their diet, this is new stuff. Much of the poisons have only been for a few decades. Don't act like for generations they always put pesticides and hormones and plastic all in their food. What are you talking about? Now, there is a way that we ought to be easily molded, and that is with the things of God. We ought to be yielded to God Himself. We ought to be surrendered to Him. God doesn't want us to be stubborn and hardened toward Him in rebellion and perverseness. He tells us in Hosea 4, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." We ought not be like that with God. We ought to be yielded to God. But when it comes to Satan, you ought to be firm. You ought to be rooted. When it comes to the world and the propaganda and the pressures, you ought to be firm, fixed, says the Bible. 2 Chronicles 30 says, "Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord." 2 Kings 17 says, "Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God." Nehemiah 9 says, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments." Jeremiah 7 says, "Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers." So with God, you ought to be yielded, easy to instruct, easy to be reproved, to be guided and molded. But if you're going to remain yielded with God, you have to be firm against the world, the flesh, and Satan. Don't be easy to woo by the devil and change. But with God, be fixed, steadfast, unmovable, says the Bible, once you're sure you're on God's side in an area. But even many believers are becoming plasticized today. There's a great lack of biblical loyalty, of faithfulness. Look at what's happening in regard to marriage. Nobody's fixed. Nobody's firm. They're easily persuaded, easily led out of their marriages and their commitments. Friendships are broken. Church loyalty. It's one thing to be cultic and have blind loyalty, to give a church or a pastor a degree of loyalty that should only be to the Lord Jesus. But we have something on the other side, the other extreme today. And that is all of the old loyalties that used to be in this nation that would normally go to fathers and parents and spouses and churches is being usurped by pop idols, by movements, by social media, by idols designed purposely to break down the traditional loyalties. Why? Because communists, these people that want you to worship the state, these humanists, these world government people, they want to break down your loyalty to your fathers, to your parents, to your churches, unless they can control those things, see? They want you to be loyalty to the propaganda. They don't want any competition. We've been told in the Bible by prophecy that this final age, this generation that would come, would be the most selfish that has ever been. Full of rebels, slanderous talk against parents, especially fathers. Against their bosses, against pastors, even against husbands. Not long ago, if you tried to break up a family, break up a marriage, break up a church, there would be an angry countenance. They say, I'm going to tell Dad you're talking that way. They say, I'm going to go tell the pastor you said that. They'd have the north wind, that angry countenance that would drive away that backbiting tongue. They would cast out scorners so the strife would cease. They would rebuke the sowers of discord and the troublemakers, the insinuators and whisperers. They'd stand up for their loyalties. This isn't decrying standing for truth in a godly way, having a healthy disagreement. But all of that can be done the right way, in a way that's careful to establish a biblical loyalty to authority. The Apostle Paul and Peter and those of the New Testament, they were very careful to show that while they must follow the order of authority and the allegiance to God must be the supreme, absolute loyalty, they were careful to show that they weren't here to break up families, to break up order. They showed and argued that they were not troublemakers. They weren't rebels. They weren't looking to usurp. In Pilgrim's Progress, you had the character Pliable, remember? With Obstinate, Pliable tries to compel Christian to return to the city of destruction. But Pliable finally gets talked into traveling with Christian for a short distance toward the celestial city. But when he gets stuck in the slough of despond, Pliable returns back to where he came from. Many of the Reformed saw Pliable as a false professor. But I'm going to tell you that there are many true believers who are saved in eternity, but they leave the path of true discipleship and turn back, just like Demas did, having loved this present world. They're going to miss the millennial glory, the millennial reign, but as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 shows, they will nevertheless be saved, yet so as by fire. The Lord says, when I come, shall I find faith on earth? The loyalty, the dedication, the commitment of discipleship, the commitment to stay married, the commitment to stay loyal to people in your life in a biblical way. Everybody's plastic. They're making themselves look like Michael Jackson. They're deforming themselves in monstrous Frankenstein ways. Boys trying to become female and females trying to become male. They're ingesting plastic. And deep down in their heart, they're plastic in regard to Satan's propaganda. They're so easily wooed, easily moved. Raised for years in a Christian church and just throw it all away to be like the world and act like the world. And like every other person that was raised without God, they can't wait to be like them. Etymology Online says pliable means from the late 14th century, easy to be bent, readily yielding to force or pressure. From the old French word that means flexible, bendable. So it means easily influenced by peer pressure and propaganda, as we've seen. If you want to avoid being pliable in your heart, you have to be rooted. You have to have a good and honest heart. You have to be thankful and grateful to God, and you have to fear God. And you have to say, no, you go astray. I'm not going astray. I'm staying fixed. I'm staying by the stuff. I'm staying rooted and grounded. In fact, I don't want you near me anymore. You tempt me to bad things. Let the Lord and His truth be more important than comfort and money and fame and friends. Let Him be the supreme loyalty. And that's the only way to love everybody in your life. There are some steps of disloyalty I'll speak about for a moment. as we prepare to close. Steps of disloyalty, number one, would be you begin to operate as a privileged person. Rules don't apply to you. You're privileged. You don't have to have proper manners. You don't have to have proper forms of respect. And then, because of this pride, this person starts becoming constantly offended, easily offended. The pride gets hurt so easy. The next stage is they begin to show disinterest. They begin to drag their feet, non-participation. You have to keep coaxing them to participate. And the final stage is they begin to magnify flaws. They begin to whisper. They begin to launch schisms like Absalom. See, godly loyalty takes effort. You have to turn from propaganda wherever it is. But you know, 2 Timothy 3, lovers of self in the last days, perilous times. Jeremiah 9, every man will supplant this age of selfish leeches, says Proverbs. It's going to naturally bring disloyalty. It says in Psalms 12, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. In other words, these people were whispering and sabotaging and disrupting and rebelling and trying to usurp behind the scenes. But to the face, they would give you a Judas kiss. What is the root of sinful disloyalty? What is the root of this plastic heart? It's almost always pride. Lucifer, the most disloyal of all, fell because of pride. He looked at his wisdom and looked at his beauty, and he fell and became Satan. Look in the Bible at Absalom. Look at Adonijah, who said, I will be king against his father. How did Absalom begin? He began as an angry man, very bitter, that his father didn't rule the way he thought he should. And soon he began to steal gullible hearts. And he began to carefully fill people with sly insinuations against the king. Oh, if he was the ruler, this is how it would be. And what is pride's companion? It's envy. Cain envied Abel, and he wasn't faithful. The brothers of Joseph envied Joseph, and they were not faithful. Saul envied David, and he was not loyal to this man that had saved Israel. The religious leaders envied the Lord Jesus. And even Pilate knew for envy, they had delivered him up to be crucified. Disloyal plastic people seize on what they think is a weakness in a leader when it might only seem to be such. Adonijah waited till David was old and dying, and then he launched his great rebellion as a picture of Antichrist. Let us remember the north wind deals with disloyal people. Those that would tempt you to be disloyal, give them the north wind. Those backbiting tongues, give them that angry countenance. Cast out the scorner. Cast them out of your life. Don't allow them to destroy your marriage. Don't allow somebody to destroy your marriage or turn you against your father, turn you against your church. And again, churches can be wrong. You better believe it, especially in this day and age. But there's a right way to do things. Follow the way of the apostles. We can stand for truth without being troublemakers in a wicked way. The wicked will always think you're troubling them. But God's calling us to be loyal to Him, loyal to the old paths, loyal to the authorities that He's put in place and ordained. And we have to have His wisdom and prudence. My point is, there's a place for biblical loyalty, even among each other. And we are living in one of the most plastic ages, if not the most plastic age. And ironically, while people are so pliable and movable and given to change, at the same time, they're literally becoming plastic. That is amazing. God help us. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the principles that guide us. We thank You that we can see into the future from Your word, Lord. And You communicate and show us and lead us through Your holy, inspired, preserved Bible. Now I pray for folks to have the backbone to stand up and take a stand against those that would kill us physically and kill us spiritually, or seek to. I pray You save families, save churches, save friendships that are right and proper and should be saved. And most of all, Lord, may many disciples be firm and steadfast and fixed and unmovable, looking for Your second coming. Not so easily persuaded and blown by the winds of devils. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Heal us all, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.